Let me just say good morning to everybody. Yes, hold on, please.
Sure.
Hold, please. What I'd like to do is we'll start with introductions. But before I do introductions, Andrew, you had a question.
Well, right now, Steve was having difficulty phoning in, so I'm leaving him on the speakerphone in my desk phone.
Okay.
Okay. So I did that a lot for the SRC, and it worked out fine as long as he can hear us. Like, it was actually an alternative that worked.
Are you hearing that, Steve Thaw?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like that's a workaround. It's not great, but it sort of works. So, okay.
Okay.
Just to let you know, Mr. Chairman, you have a member attending that's not on your screen.
Oh, yes. Okay, very good. All right, so here's what I want to do then. I will start with a roll call, and then when Andrew, is it you who has the list of members?
I think Zach does.
Okay, Zach, can I ask you then to please call each individual's name, and what I would ask them to do is identify themselves, but by saying that they're here, they're present, or what have you, and then also by stating their affiliations, so people know who it is that's speaking, whether they're a board member or a member of the public. Once we get through the roll, I'm going to ask that anybody who is a member of the public please identify themselves, just so we know who's listening in on the meeting. We're not spying on you, but we need to know, we need to have some idea of who you are. So, with that, Zach, would you mind calling the roll, please?
Yes, absolutely. So, I have Chairman Al Silvestri.
Al Silvestri is clearly present, and he is a board member and chairman.
I have Andrea, and I always say this wrong, so I apologize. Giudice?
Giudice,
thank you.
But Mary said that, not Andrea.
I don't see Andrea.
No, I haven't heard her either.
Okay, thank you. Beth Reibel?
I'm here. I'm a board member.
Thank you. Eileen Akers?
I'm here. Eileen Akers, board member.
I have Catherine Guzman?
Yes, here, and board member, parent rep.
Thank you. Mary Silverberg?
Mary Silverberg, present, board member.
Randa Utter?
Yes, Randa, and I'm a board member.
Samuel Pride? I did get an email from him that says he's attending.
He's muted. Sam, you must be muted, because we heard you earlier.
He did email me and let me know that he
was. Board member.
Oh, thank you, Sam.
There we go.
Stephen Thaw, we know, is connected through Andrew Norton.
Steve, did you hear that? Your name was called.
Yeah, present, board member.
And I apologize, I'm going through my distribution list for the email here. Was there any board members that I had missed?
Representing the Commissioner of Social Services is Matt Fazzino.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, Matthew Fazzino, Equal Employment Opportunity Specialist, representing Commissioner Gifford from the Department of Social Services. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Do we have David Gregoire?
He's not a member anymore.
Okay, apologies. We have, let's see here, Chris Lassen.
Well, wait, hold on. Steve Famiglietti is a member.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's got a funny email, so you wouldn't know it from his email. But
I apologize.
But I don't hear Steve.
I didn't know I was going to be doing attendance, so I was just using the email list.
Sure.
Was that the only additional member before the supervisors?
That I can think of.
Okay, so then we have Chris Lassen.
Yeah, Chris is here.
We have Andrew Norton.
Yes. My affiliations are the Lions Club and Roman Catholicism, but I don't really care.
We have Catherine Sum.
Good morning, I'm here.
We have Mary Burgard.
Hi, good morning, Mary Burgard, VR supervisor.
We have Lori St. Amand.
Good morning, Lori St. Amand, volunteer program specialist.
We have Tyrell Sampson.
Present, Business Enterprise Program Supervisor.
And I believe that's it for my list. Is there anybody else attending this meeting? Okay, Mr. Chairman, I believe that covers the names that I have.
Okay, thank you very much, Zach. Appreciate that. Our next segment is public comment. I'm going to give the floor to Steve Saul. He asked to speak briefly, so Steve, I will give you the floor, and we'll see how it goes.
Did you hear that, Steve?
Morning, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Yes. I was wanting to bring up a few points before we get started in our meeting today. The first point I wanted to thank the adult services for putting out the 1,400 or so large print calendars. I received a few calls from our consumers, and I'm hoping that this will be continued the coming year. Maybe try to get it out a little bit earlier, October versus November. That would be helpful. I wanted you to know that. The other points I want to bring up is we have to keep in mind that we're in a post-pandemic period. And what this means is things are not going to be like they were before. Technology has changed, really pushed to the forefront, and the way services are being delivered. Notice this particularly in the medical field, trying to make appointments, understanding what my chart's all about, and so on. Need to keep that in mind. We need to be creative, and we need to all work together. Not opposed to one another. We need to work with each other to come up with the best way to handle it going forward. And that includes the possibility of a new director of BESB as things are changing. We're also going through the transitioning period, so keep that in mind. Currently, we have a number of staff that have retired, and that presents challenges because many people that are left on the staff are doing extra work. So please keep those values in mind as we go forward, as we're all working together and to be creative and to make this the best we can do. So I thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to state a few comments.
Thank you for that, Steve. Appreciate it. Our next item is... I'm sorry, do I hear a question?
Yeah, this is Catherine Guzman. I just wanted to say thank you to the Children's and Adult Services for writing the program out that Andrew sort of delivered for us. It was so helpful to be able to read all of that and to understand what was going to be talked about, and I know that that's extra effort to get it all written down and sent to us, so I just wanted to thank you guys for putting that effort in.
Thanks, Catherine. Our next item then is full business. We have the minutes from 16 December 2021 for action. Do I hear a motion to adopt?
Eileen Akers, so moved.
Okay, we have a motion to adopt from Eileen Akers. Do we have a second, please?
This is Randa. I second the motion.
Second from Randa Utter. Do we have discussion?
I just want to commend Zach because taking on all these responsibilities, including doing the minutes, that's yeoman's work, yeoman's service, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Any further comments? Hearing none, without objection, the minutes are approved. On to new business. We have Besby Interim Director introduction. Unfortunately, Cheryl is not here this week, so we can't have her introduce herself. I think we will have to postpone this item until the next meeting, unless somebody is able to speak a little bit about Cheryl. And well, it's
I'll jump in, Al, if you don't
mind.
Yeah,
please do, Andrew.
So, Cheryl, as assigned by Amy, is developing ways to reach out to the community. Obviously, in the case of Besby, people were blind or visually impaired. And so she's actually working on, and I don't know much about this stuff, but programs that people can use to submit ideas about what they see as Besby's future, well, and present. And I know she was working actually with someone on the Children's Services staff who had a program that was good at soliciting input. So you could, and also anonymously, if people choose that way. What's that called, Catherine? Is that a board name?
Yeah, okay, so there are two formats. I was actually able to set up an accessible and anonymous survey through Teams, the format we're using right now. And that worked with my staff. Now, what we're actually pursuing is something called JotForm, which would operate in a similar way, and an anonymous survey would be able to be sent out, and people could answer the questions and submit them that way. The survey that I know Cheryl is working on does have freeform boxes, so you can write as much or as little as you would like. And I'm going to say for my staff, it worked really well. I'm the one who set the survey up in my end. I'm going to tell you, I truly do not know who the respondents were. Every respondent was listed as anonymous. So it really is, if we go with the Teams route or the JotForm route, I know it will be a safe and secure way for people to honestly answer the questions that they'd like.
So, Catherine, you know, wants to figure out the big picture for the future of all of these services. You know, I did speak with Amy, and she says that, you know, whatever the outcome, and I think, you know, frankly, you know, Amy wants to take the moment of Brian's departure, of all these retirements coming, to look at the structure of the agency and figure out what is best to produce services. But she says there will be someone succeeding Cheryl as being in charge. And I don't know that she even, you know, knows exactly what job classification that will be, but it'll be someone in charge of everything that Besby does, and someone who's answerable for what Besby does. So, and I don't know if that'll be July 1st, I don't know, but she did want from Cheryl, from all her experience in state government, to look at that organizational structure, but then also to consult the whole community. And I know she's getting close to starting that step in her process, as Catherine described, but I'm sure there'll be other things too, meetings and what have you. And she's taking on, you know, sort of more mundane tasks of looking at the clerical needs at Besby. You know, when someone retires, all of a sudden we're sometimes left in the lurch. She's looking at ways that clerical support could be more provided more seamlessly to the whole group. As you know, we have four programs that all require support. She's also looking at ways to streamline, or in any case, make more organized and consistent the way we purchase items for our clients. And they all do things a bit differently. BEP, Children's Services, Adult Services, VR, all have some little differences in how teachers or field reps or rehab teachers or VR counselors get things to the consumers, a service or a product or a piece of equipment. And she wants to see if that can't be done in a more consistent fashion across the agency. So those are a few of the more mundane projects she's taking on to improve things at Besby, as well as looking to the giant future of Besby. And I'm not sure if I'm leaving anything out. Maybe I am. But those are some of the things that she would have talked about, I think. But she did have a trip long planned before she got this job. And it sadly fell on this week. So that's sort of my, you know, Cheryl in absentia report. If anyone has any questions.
Yes, I do, Andrew. Do we know if Brian's permanent successor will be expected to have credentials such that she or he will be considered, would be eligible to be considered as the state director per RSA standards?
I don't know that. I assume if it's something that has to be done, as you say, regarding what the federal government expects, then I assume, and Amy's, you know, as having been a director herself, is well aware of that stuff. But I guess I can't say I have asked her or heard her give an answer to that particular question. Will the new person running BSBE be a VR suitable or whatever eligible director? I don't know. But by the way, I'm not trying to shift anything to you, but anyone with questions or things like that, feel free to email Amy. She consumes a lot that comes her way, and she doesn't, you know, she's very open to hearing, but I don't know the answer.
Right. I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb here to say that there's likely consensus among board members that we would like for the director to, at a minimum, have VR qualifications, and certainly be helpful if they had other qualifications with regard to familiarity with adult services and children's services.
Well,
as it stands right now, for RSA's purposes, Amy right now is our state director, so obviously we think it would be in BSBE's interest for the new BSBE director to be qualified as state director.
Well, does that mean that, and I have no idea what the future is, but does that mean that if someone, let's say within the organization, hoped to become the new head of BSBE, that if they came from adult services or BEP or children's services, they probably wouldn't be able to get that, move into that position? They'd have to be a person with a VR?
I think that's a question that RSA is probably better equipped to answer. I don't have the RSA criteria at my fingertips, but I suspect that if it's a person from within the organization, they would certainly take that under consideration.
I can maybe interject a little bit to explain it, if that helps. The position of state director isn't necessarily linked to the BSBE director. You know, she could choose to assign the new BSBE director or whatever title that may be, or anybody else to do that job. But whoever does the state director job has to meet certain criteria. It's called comprehensive system of personnel development, and there's a whole host of criteria. So if you don't meet that, you cannot be the state director. So it's not necessarily you can't be the BSBE director, but the BSBE director, if they don't meet the qualifications, can't be the state director. So Amy obviously does, because she was the state director for BRS, so she is in VR our acting state director.
I'll certainly pass that on to Amy, and invite any of you to also, you know, pop her an email, pop her a phone call, but I will pass that concern on.
Excellent. Thank you, Andrew, and thanks, Mary. That was a really helpful primer on what the state director actually means. I appreciate that. Anybody else have questions for Andrew regarding our interim director? Hearing none, let's move on to the next item of the agenda. Our next item is the bylaws work group recommendations. And what I'm going to do for this is I will give the floor to both Eileen and Steve, since they've been leading this effort, and we'll be in a position to give us some insight into what we have before us here in the proposed bylaws.
Steve, do you want to start?
Oh, go ahead, Eileen.
Yeah. I thought Steve might want to do the introduction,
Hold on,
and then
Steve
I can
start. unless you want me to ask her to give you the floor.
Yeah, let me open it up, please.
Eileen?
I thought Steve was going to start, and then I will...
I misconstrued what you were saying. I thought you were starting. Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The original committee consisted of three members, Randy Osmond, Catherine Guzman, and myself. Chairman Al chose to join the committee, and we welcome his input. And the chair of this work group, we're a work group, not a committee. That's important to keep in mind. So the chairman decided, of the work group, decided to bring in because of his legislative background. And also, Eileen Akers was brought in because of her past experiences with the board and also on bylaws. So we welcome all of those people. So what we're going to do, two things. First, we reviewed the bylaws. We had two meetings, and we went through item by item by item. The second thing that happened and occurred to us early on during this process is that we had several Connecticut general statutes that were referred to in the bylaws. And everybody on the committee was saying, well, what does this mean? How is it related? So Catherine Guzman gave a great idea that she printed out all of the general statutes that impact the bylaws. 14 pages long. And your work group took this opportunity. Thank you very much to Catherine. To bring all this together. So what you're going to get from Eileen is a summary of all this work. So I'm going to turn this over to Eileen to start right at the beginning where we have a change in our title. So Eileen will take it from here. We'll go item by item with the changes.
Actually, I'm not going to go item by item. I'm not going to go item by item. I'll explain.
So she'll edit, and then these are proposals made by the committee. And I want to thank the committee because this took a lot of work, especially Catherine bringing all this Connecticut general statute. That's probably the first time that anyone has done this in years. So I'll turn it over to Eileen.
Thank you. Let me just go ahead with what I have put together here. Throughout the bylaws, there were about five. Oh no! Come on, computer! Oh please, don't do this to me! St. Patrick, help me! my computer doesn't want to move. Throughout the bylaws, there were about five instances where specific state statutes were referenced. This was replaced by the general term state statutes to avoid having to update specific references. In other words, if an item had a state statute number and all that, what if the state statute was changed? Then the bylaws would have to be amended to put in the new number or something like that. So we took out all of that and just referred to state statute, except for the Chapter 174 of the Connecticut General Statute, because that is the overall Besby statute. So there are about five of those. I've got several categories here. The first one is specific changes. In Article 4, Meeting Section 6, there was a discussion about Robert's Rules, and we recommend changing that. Robert's Rules may be conducted, not will be conducted, may be conducted, well, in accordance with the principles outlined in Robert's Rules of Order. Before we had the current edition. Well, what is the current edition? In other words, we just make that a little more general. Another change was special meetings. The chair will make every effort, if possible, to ensure notice and accessible format is provided 7 calendar days in advance of the meeting date. We really felt strongly, obviously, that any notice of special meetings had to be accessible, but realized that there's also a time limit. So that's how we adjusted that concern. Another concern, this is a big one also, amending the bylaws. Originally, it was three-fourths of the members would have to vote in favor of amending. We changed that to two-thirds of the members. Let's see, I'm trying to think. I think that, then further on, it had originally said submitted to the board at least 10 days in advance. We added the word calendar day. And so those were some of the substantial changes that we made. There were other changes that we had to make because the structure of the organization has changed. For example, there is this incredible title now for the bylaws. I don't think I can do it in one breath. Bylaws of the Advisory Board for Persons Who Are Blind or Visually Impaired to the Bureau of Education and Services for the Blind, BESB, of the Department of Aging and Disability Services, ADS. That's the title. Then, of course, that meant in Article 1, we had to change our name to Advisory Board for Persons Who Are Blind or Visually Impaired. In Article 2, under purpose, we advise the commission, I'm trying to read the changes with, I think, advise the commissioner of ADS and the state director of BESB, whereas before it would have been the commissioner of DOORS. So again, these are changes sort of mandated by what the new structure is. Then we had some language changes, and that's probably where there are more changes. In Article 3, Section 2, the commissioner of the Department of Social Services, and we, before it just said social services, so we clarified that, the commissioner. Then in Article 4, Section 3, executive sessions, again, we just changed it, executive sessions into two sentences instead of one. Executive sessions are closed to non-board members. Non-members may be admitted by invitation of the board. Same idea, but just two sentences. Duties of the chair, again, it was a language change, but not changing anything except the language. The chair shall preside over meetings. Before it was, the chair shall chair meetings. Article 5, Section 3, again, it's the same idea, but different language. I'm just changing some words around. Consistent with public notice requirements, the chair shall add items to the agenda prior to the meeting upon the request of two or more members. Article 5, Section 3, in the event of his or her absence, the chair may designate a board member to serve as temporary chair. just a language change again, at the